things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which the Lord has and was confirmed unto us by them and that heard him?
Oh, one thing that's always amazed me was outer space. I've never wanted to go. I watched the other day Apollo 13 again. I've seen it several times, and that would be my luck. I don't know how many of y'all have seen Apollo 13, but I feel like it would be my luck that if I got out there, something would go wrong, and all pieces have to fall back into the right place for me to get back home. And most of y'all know how I feel about being at home. I like to be at home at night especially. I always tell Wendy, I'll go anywhere you want to go, and we'll go see it as long as I can get home by 9 o'clock at night. I enjoy that. Have you ever just stopped and looked up at the sky? Especially at night. Just stop and look up how beautiful the sky really is. There are shows on TV, and you can get on the internet, and you can look at outer space. You can see all the stars and the moons and the planets and all the different things. It's just amazing. It's amazing to me how it all works. You know, we know that God created those things and that he put them there, and how awesome and how great God really is in all of his creation. You know, it doesn't take much to amaze me or confuse me. People talk about the internet. Well, I still think old-timey telephones are amazing. I mean, you think about that for a minute. I went to the Philippines, and I called Tresvant, Tennessee. And I had a little bitty thing holding in my hand, and I could talk, and I could hear my wife on the other end. A fax machine. That still amazes me. You look at everything that man has made. I don't know how it all works. I don't even want to know, really. But look at what we've done. And sometimes we can stand back and we can think to ourselves how smart we really are, because look at all that we made. But just compare those few things that I mentioned of what man has made versus what God made. And how it all works so perfectly together. Then you take, for an example, when you think about outer space and you think about the earth that we live on. Gravity. The trees, the dirt, the soil, the rain. Fog, snow, weather changing every 3 months. How the birds live and how all the animals live. And how they are born in such a way that they know to take care of themselves for the most part. God did all that. Then you take us. And sometimes we may think of ourselves and we can say, how important am I? You look around at how great everything is that God created, and sometimes we may look at ourselves and say, I'm not that important. You know, that question was asked. Matter of fact, Jack read it for us in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. The question was asked, what is, or verse 6, he didn't read that far, verse 6. Verse 6, but one in a certain place testified, saying, here's the words, what is man? Have you ever asked that question? What is man? Or what am I? How important can I really be to God? How important can I be to the world? How important am I to those around me? You know, we all struggle and we all face things in our life. We all
may do things. We may be involved with things at time, and we get out of those things, we look back and we're ashamed. We're ashamed of the things that we participated in, things we've done or things we have not done. And we know what we call those things. We call those things sin. And as a Christian, when we obey the gospel, when we become a child of God and we allow Christ's blood to wash away our sins, we can take this sin that we're ashamed of in our life, and we can go back over here behind us and we can put it back behind us on a shelf somewhere and we can forget it. Now, we don't want to forget to the point that we go make those mistakes again, but we don't have to carry that weight with us anymore, understanding that God has forgiven us of those sins. And it's true, too, when we become a Christian, that we're not going to live perfect, and as we live our life and we struggle and we face daily temptations, that we're going to fall short from time to time, and we're going to look back on a day or a week or a month or a year in our life that we look back and we say, we have made a terrible mess of our life. But that precious blood of Jesus is still there through our willingness to repent of our sins, that we can gather that up again and we can reach back behind us and we can put it behind us on that shelf again. And we can move forward. And we don't have to carry that weight with us. So the question is, what is man? How important am I? You know, when we think about our importance to God, it's so very important, because God said this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. He said, let us make man in our image. And every one of us in here tonight was made in God's image. So when you ask the question, how important am I? You're of great importance. Your soul is so very important to God. We worry about ourselves sometime, our outward appearance. And I forgot to announce Miss Jackie Sue, and I apologize about her shoulder. I know we mentioned it last week, but she's still struggling with that. And we think about our aches and our pains, and we think about how our body is failing us as we get older. We talked about that today at the hospital. I don't know if it was before or after Nick got there. David and I was talking about it. The older we get, the more we see that's wrong with us. But you know, that soul, that inside of us, the inside that matters to God, it continues to grow every day, and it gets better and better and better each and every day that we live. And God is so pleased with us when we allow our soul to continue to grow and build more and more and more faith. And although we may be hunched over and we may wear thick glasses like I have, and a lot of us have hearing aids now, and I'm not far from it, I'm sure, and we look at ourselves and say, my old body's playing out on me, but my soul is getting more faithful every day, and I have a greater desire every day to be with God. And folks, that's when that light that we talk about so much shines so bright that this dark world that we live in can see Christ in us. So what is man? Man was made in the image of God. And we represent Christ each and every day of our life. When we look at our living soul that never dies, it's very, very important to God. You know, there are several questions in the Bible. I was reading this last week, and I read an article, and then I got to looking through the scriptures trying to find questions. Questions that we find in the Bible, and one was, what is man? The second one I found is, what shall it profit a man? And we know in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, it says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? You know, you could stop right there, Charlie, and you could preach a sermon just on that. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? You know, we all try to gain things, don't we? We try to accumulate things. I said before, I got a closet in the living room that is from floor to ceiling in both ways. It's a pretty good sized closet that is full of collectible things, most of which Jay collected, and Daniel and me and Wendy and different ones. We've got it piled in there full of things that we thought that we wanted. We got on a mission at some point in our life, and one of them was NASCAR for Jay, and we've got so many NASCAR cars, it's just amazing. I can't wait someday to pull them out and hand them to Jay Cruz. But I remember when he was wanting to collect certain NASCARs, we would drive places and we would go places, and he would find just the one he was wanting. I've got a bunch of Matchbox cars when I was a kid. And I've held on to them all this time. We try to collect things and we try to hold on to things that mean something to us. But when we ask that question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? Let's just say we had it all. What would we have when you go to the second part of this question and you lose your own soul? What's the answer? Obviously nothing. What had it profited us if we lived our life in whatever kind of happiness that we want to deem or we want to say is important to us? And you know, that's what Satan does to us. He puts in front of us and he tells us that, Tim, this is going to make you happy all the days that you're on this earth. And it may, but it's a false happiness when we think about it, because when we allow sin and we allow Satan to capture us, no matter what the sin is, whether it's adultery or whether it's drinking or drugs or lying or whatever it may be, when we allow sin to overcome us and take us over, we may live in some type of happiness on this earth, but as Christians, as anybody that knows the truth, we can't truly be happy because we know we're going to lose it all. We can't take that with us. You know, one day Daniel's going to have a mess. He's going to dig through the attic, the shed, every closet under our beds, and he's going to dig through stuff because Tim's not going to take none of it with him. And neither are you. But I'm going to tell you the one thing I'm going to take with me when I leave here. It's my soul. That's what's leaving. So what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew 10 and verse 28 says this, "Fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." You know, most of us would not sell our soul for all the world. Matter of fact, we could probably go and ask the majority of the people, would you sell your soul to the devil? Most people would say absolutely not, but a lot of people would refuse to obey the gospel. We won't sell it, but we won't obey the gospel either. So in turn, what are we doing? Some will walk right away from God after they become a Christian. But we'll say we will not sell our soul. But we refuse to be faithful. Then the third question I wanted to mention tonight is found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, and that's where I want us to really concentrate for just a minute. It says, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? You know, that verse does not tell us, it's not just if we don't murder, we don't kill, we don't commit adultery, we don't steal, we don't lie, and we're not an atheist. It's not those things. It says this, if you look at verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 2, it's if we neglect this great opportunity that we're talking about tonight, if we neglect this opportunity of salvation. That's what this verse is dealing with. You know, neglect, when we think about it, neglect will ruin a man. If we neglect to do things, it's going to ruin us. How many of us goes to a doctor, besides me, goes to a doctor and they give you advice and they tell you, you need to take this medicine and you need to do this and you need to do that and this is going to help you to be healthier. How many of y'all walk out of the office and say, well, he don't know what he's talking about, and go back to doing what you're doing? Do we neglect what the doctor tells us? You know, I'm supposed to go a week from tomorrow to schedule again to have my heart done. And they give me medicine to get by until I could have this done. And I found myself this last week so busy, and I had run out of medicine. I said, well, I'll get it Saturday. I went 2 days without this medicine that the doctor gave me. I was supposed to take 2 a day. I went 2 days without it, and Friday I was working, and all my symptoms come back to me when Cindy and I and Jacob was in Trenton working. And I remember thinking to myself, you big dummy, get your medicine. And I left Trenton, sent an idea, and went and got the medicine, and I went to swallowing some pills. We just don't neglect things, do we? When someone tells us this is what's best for you, you're going to do it for the most part. Verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, God has promised us a fire escape. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. The man who refuses to accept that commits spiritual suicide. There's no other way to look at it. If we don't accept it and we continue to live in sin and we will not take, as we talked about in the beginning, we take that and we ball it up and we repent of it and we put it behind us. If we don't do that, we're committing spiritual suicide. About having our life right with God. You know, and some people may think that too much punishment for such short disobedience or little disobedience, however you want to look at it. Just because we neglect this great of salvation, it seems like to us as people that's really too great of a punishment what we're talking about tonight. But then you can look at the other side of that coin. You can look at the other side of that argument. Maybe the half full is, look at what a great reward it is if we will just not neglect it. If we'll hold on to it and we'll accept it. Tonight, just like every day of our life, another question that we read about, Paul and Silas heard that question when they were in prison. The jailer asked them, what must I do? The question that each one of us need to ask ourselves tonight and every day of our life, what must I do to be saved? And it should be an ongoing thought in our minds that we live each day to make sure that we're saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Tonight, do you have a belief in God that he is the creator that we started talking about? That he sent Jesus to this earth and that Jesus walked on this earth and he died on the cross for our sins? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing tonight to take the sin in your life and put it behind you? And say, I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to carry that with me any longer. Repent. That's what that is. Taking sin and putting it behind you. And say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to live that way anymore. And the beautiful thing about that is, you don't even have to remember it no more. We don't have to have that burden with us all the days and every day of our life that we carry that sin with us. We don't have to. God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us. The scriptures tells us that he is eager and longing and wanting us to be saved. The one condition of that is that we have to repent of those sins. We have to turn away from them. Oh, and that's a hard thing to do. We probably all talk to our friends, our neighbors, and our loved ones from time to time about their soul and about their condition. And the one thing that we're all got the same guilt of, every one of us, it may be different degrees, but we all do this. We all justify in our minds certain things. We'll justify something and say it's okay for me to do this. Somewhere in our minds, we know, because the Scripture tells us, if we think it's sin, it's sin. If we think it's wrong, folks, it's wrong for us. Tonight, are you willing to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Make that great confession. Then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've done that, and you're looking at your life tonight, and you're saying, you know, I once was white as snow. I once felt good about my life. I once felt good about living for Christ. And it just seems like this world and temptations of this world have just beat me to death. I'm scarred, I'm bruised, I'm dirty. I have no confidence in my salvation because of sin that I've been carrying with me. Folks, tonight you can get rid of that burden. You can get rid of it by stepping out of that aisle, of that pew, walking down this aisle, repenting of those sins and allowing this congregation to pray with you and for you, that God will forgive you. And look, you can gather that up and you can put it behind you. And you can leave here tonight with a great burden lifted. Won't you come tonight while we stand and sing?